Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dyke-Ewad Mills. Dyke-Ewad Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dyke-Ewad Mills. That draws
us to. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. And if you are grateful you are alive today, then put your hands together to Jesus and give the Lord a mighty shout of praise. A lot of things are happening, but the Bible says we are kept by the power of God. Amen. Just last year, more than 2,000 people died in car accidents in Ghana. But God will preserve your life in Jesus' name. You will never be brought in dead according to the prophecy that has been spoken over you. If you believe it, shout yes. Our first testimony is coming from our sister Sarah Bwachua. She's in Oyibi Basenta. And she's here to testify of what God did for her. Put your hands together for her as she comes. So tell us, what has God done for you?
I'm grateful for what God has done for me because he has helped me to escape from the attack of armed robbers. Last week, Wednesday, I was going for a late school night school, so I came to the center to pick my question papers, and I met one girl here. So when we finished, we decided to walk to get a cab. We requested for an Uber, so we're going to meet the Uber. But before we got to the filling station, that's in front of Duffield, we saw a motorbike passing by us. We became afraid all of a sudden. But little did we know that the motorbike would turn back. So before we could say Jack, they've crossed us already. So there were two guys on the motorbike. The person at the back got down and started chasing us. We started saying, Jesus, like we're running, shouting, but it looks like 2 hours running. So unfortunately he held me at my back. He held my bag. So he dragged me on the floor and I fell down. And he brought out a knife. The knife was in the
arm robber on the motorbike.
Yeah.
Bicycle.
Yeah. The one who got down to chase us. Yeah. Then the knife was in a case. So I don't know. He thought I wasn't afraid and I was being reluctant to give him my bag. So he pointed the knife on my throat. And he said I should bring my bag. So I just gave it to him. But when I was struggling with him, I was able to throw my phone away. So he picked me up again, still pointing the knife on me and telling me to bring my phone. What did I throw away? And I said, I don't know. My friend has taken the phone away. He said, no, so I should bring the phone. And he started searching around and he saw the phone and he left me and he went. But the miracle is that when I was struggling with him, he could have stabbed me or cut me with a knife because, one, he was running with me and he was angry, so he could have hurt me.
Yes.
But he didn't do any of that. And when he found the phone, too, I was being reluctant. He could have done anything, but he didn't do anything.
Please don't be reluctant. Put your hands together for Jesus and give the Lord a shout of praise. The Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 48, he will deliver me from the violent man. May God deliver you from any violent man you meet. Amen. So are you grateful to God for saving your life?
I'm so grateful to God that he has been able to save me from this attack. And I want to also say that I believe that it is the prayers of our Father, Bishop Dyke-Ewad Mills, because he always prophesied that we are going to escape our untimely death. And I believe that is what happened to me. It was his prayers that really saved me. And I want to really thank God.
Give the Lord a shout of praise. Put your hands together for that powerful testimony. You will escape too in Jesus' name. The Bible says that our souls will escape as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. Our second testimony is coming from our brother Kingsford from UPSA. Put your hands together for him as he tells us about how he escaped too. Kingsford, tell us, what has God done for you?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to give God the glory for giving me from the attack of armed robbers. Amen.
Amen.
So on Thursday, UPSA was blessed to have the son of the prophecy. Pastor Joshua held most on our campus called Salvation Night. After that night, I realized I was hungry, so I needed to get food. And the only place I could get food was around Rolling Circle. So I called a friend of mine to go and escort me to get a food. On our way, we went to get a food. On coming back, realized that we noticed some three guys behind us. And we just ignored them and walked on. We went and got some jazz chain to our hostel. These guys were still following us. So I made my friend get to the hostel.
So you escorted your friend to her hostel first?
Yes, please.
And they were still following you?
Yes, please.
So from your friend's hostel, you had to go to your hostel?
Yes, please.
And they were still following you?
Yes.
How many of them?
There were three of them. So one guy was like, he has left his key in the car parked at the roadside. So he runs into the car. And the other two guys they walked towards me. They were like, what do you have in my pocket? And I was like, I have nothing in my pocket. And they searched me and found my phone. And they were like, I should give my phone to them. But I didn't want to give my phone to them.
So you didn't want to give your phone?
Yeah.
Please, I think we should learn from these testimonies. Don't struggle with violent people. You didn't want to give your phone to them.
Yes, please.
And what happened?
So I was struggling with them. And at that time, so I was praying thanks. Seriously, I was praying thanks.
Say, yeah. Yeah, you pray in tongues in such situations. That's the most appropriate thing to do. And what happened?
One of the guys headbutted me. He headbutted me on my face. But still, I was still with the phone. Fear me. Amen. And I was still praying in tongues. And I got some strength to just scream, thieves, and all of a sudden, they all...
You got some strength to scream,
thieves, and all of a sudden, they would just flee.
They all flip. I'm letting you know that if this, he's even struggling to speak now. He said he got some strength to say thief, and all the people, the three armed robbers who had attacked him, they ran away. Is it a miracle or is not a miracle? Then why are you sitting down like that? Stand to your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise. This brother here says he felt some strength and he started screaming thief, and all the three men ran away from him. And that's why he's alive here without any hurts. Give God praise. Amen. So what do you have to say?
I want to encourage everyone to keep coming to church. Because realize when you come to church, our prophets prophesy over our lives and prays for us. So I encourage everyone to come to church.
Do you remember any of these prayers? Do you remember any
yes,
of the prayers?
Yes, please. I remember one of the prayers was like, he's delivering us from the attack of the enemy for wicked one. Amen.
Amen. Put your hands together for that powerful testimony. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Our next testimony is coming from Sarah Kwanza. She's in Ivandi Basenta and also a dancing star. Do it better for her. You will not be brought in dead in Jesus' name. Sarah, tell us, what has God done for you?
I want to thank God and give him the glory for saving me and delivering me from a fatal accident.
Mercy.
Last 2 weeks, we had a dancing star all night rehearsal at the Kodesh. And on our way back to the First Life Center for prayer service, we had a lift to the Achimota overhead. But what happened was that we didn't alight at the bus stop. But we alighted in between the bus stop and the roundabout. That's the Achimota overhead. And instead of us to walk back to the bus stop, we were walking towards the roundabout. And as we were walking, we didn't even know whether we were walking towards a bus stop. But we kept walking and we saw a bus and we stopped it and we got on. Then, just about getting to the Jowlu traffic light, we saw an accident that had just occurred.
Mercy.
With two dead people on the road and injured people being brought out from the crash bus.
Mercy.
And the conductor said that this was a bus that they were directing.
The conductor. She means the mate on the church. What did the mate say?
He said this was the bus that they were directly behind when they were at the bus stop.
The mate said this is the bus that was, that's your car. Behind, but you didn't go to the bus stop.
We didn't go to the bus stop. If we had gone, we'd have sat on the bus that had the accident.
Mercy.
Yes.
And you said you witnessed two people were dead on
yes,
the spot.
It was very fresh. That there was no blood. It was just their skin, their flesh showing.
So my question is, why did they drop on the road and why didn't they drop at the bus stop? And why were they not on the bus that had the accident? And why were they not the two people who died? And why were they not the ones being brought out of the car? Why is she alive and why is she well? It's because God preserved her life. The Bible says that our souls have escaped. Give the Lord a shout of praise. You will also escape too in Jesus' mighty name. So Sarah, are you grateful to God?
I'm very grateful to give him the glory morning. I also want to say thank you to the prophet for praying over us. I want you to believe in the prayers said by our father bishop that he was made, because the prayers are keeping us, they are preserving our lives. If it weren't for the prayer, I'll be involved in that accident that happened at Job.
You missed it by minutes. You'll be in the car, you'll be in the accident. Put your hands together for Jesus. We thank God for preserving a life. Our final testimony is coming from our sister Lois Edu. Oh, do it better for her. She's in the Greater Love Choir. She's also a placenta leader in Elizabeth City. Hallelujah. Lois, what has God done for you?
Hallelujah. I want to thank God for delivering me and saving me from an accident that could have been worse. On Wednesday, I was going back to school from a meeting. I was coming from Kodesh. So I was in a church hall, the smaller church hall buses. And I sat in front by the door, directly in front of the windscreen. So we were almost at La Paz. And we were going at top speed. We were using a side road. And a gentleman from nowhere just ran into the road. So the moment he ran into the road, our church hall just hit him from his head. And the part of the windscreen that hit him was directly in front of me. So immediately the church hall stopped. So when he stopped, we all rushed out and came out. And everybody's attention was on the gentleman. So when we came out, I looked at the church hall. And directly where I was sitting, the windscreen had cracked and come in, like pointing towards where I was sitting. So I decided to take a step to continue to La Paz. And the moment I stepped, I felt pain. So I stopped. Then the people around started asking, am I okay? Am I okay? So a gentleman put his flashlight on me. That was when I realized that pieces of glass had fallen like all over me from the windscreen. So they were helping me brush it off. And as they were doing it, even blood was coming from. But I didn't get any major cuts. The windscreen, the glasses could have entered my eyes. And I was also not wearing a seatbelt, so I could have easily also met the glass. But by the grace of God,
gone through the windscreen.
Yes.
Because Newton's second law of motion says, to every action there is equal and opposite reaction. Are you a star student? You don't understand what I'm saying. But give God praise, she's still alive. Why don't you give the Lord a shout of praise? Something kept her in her seat and she's still alive. Lois, are you grateful to God?
I'm very grateful to God, and I believe that it's the prayers that Daddy has been praying over our lives, because I actually felt that something had shielded me when the thing happened. And I believe that Daddy always prays for angels to protect us, and I know that that is what's keeping us. So thank you, Daddy. Please keep praying for us.
That is exactly what kept her. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Shout, ear! God will preserve you. The Bible said he will deliver me from my enemies and he will deliver me from the violent man. May your life be preserved this week in Jesus' name. Amen.
could see me now. Oh yeah, you wouldn't believe how things have changed for me. I am walking on the streets of gold, enjoying my crowns and my rewards. If you could see Jesus spoke kindly to me. He smiled at me when he looked at me. I'm in my mansion now, just as we were promised, and I'm waiting for you all to join me. Oh, 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 oh yeah. See me now. You wouldn't believe how things have changed for me. I am walking on the streets of gold, enjoying my crowns and my rewards. If you could see me now.
I wanna go. calling out to you, but there's always an excuse. I said, a mega church, 1,000-member choir, 20,000-member church, but more and more excuses. Honestly, I don't think that you love me. I think your heart is somewhere else. Because if you love me, hey, if you really love me, hey, you would obey me. You would work much harder now. But I have a feeling that I'm waiting. I'm just waiting. I keep waiting for you to do my will. That's how I feel. I have a feeling that I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting in vain for you to do my will. God is asking, is he gonna wait in vain for your love? Oh yeah, is he gonna wait in vain for your love? Oh, is he gonna wait? Is he gonna? Can't you see you're getting older? Is he gonna? Get ready at 20. Is he gonna? But now you're almost 40 and going on. Is he gonna? Waiting more and more excuses. Is he gonna wait in vain? Is he gonna wait in vain? Is he gonna wait in vain?
Wow. Do you feel blessed to be here? Are we going to build a mega church for the Lord? Is God going to wait in vain? Wow, what a blessing. Thank you so much, Ida, for a powerful song. We've come to the best, most important, most exciting part of today's service. Amen. And I'm glad to have the privilege to bring to you again the Father of the house and the Prophet of the house. I honestly feel that these messages on the seven great principles are changing our lives. And I want you to listen to the prophetic word which God has for you today. And I want you to expect a miracle.
Expect a miracle.
Lift your voices
today.
Lift your hands and expect God to touch
nothing
your life.
Is impossible.
Put your hands together and let's welcome
to believe
Bishop Guy.
I believe God's word is still the same.
Things you are doing in our lives. Change us, Lord. Establish us in you like never before. Thank you, Father, for this great blessing in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Hello, 1, 2, 3. Power. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church? Now, listen, we are building a mega church. Now, this week, I am getting between 1,000 and 2,000 more chairs to come and add to the church. So, we have to work hard to build a church because we have 5,000 chairs, but we are coming to add almost 2,000 more chairs. We have to sit outside. So we pray that it doesn't rain on Sundays. All right? And everybody must be involved in building the church. Amen. You don't have to come to church alone. And don't stay to yourself. That's what will not let you get a beloved. in our church we get beloveds easily. It's because we are used to winning souls. Winning souls, one of them will be your husband. You get what I'm saying? Winning souls, one will be your wife. I mean, that is how it goes. Because when you have oil and you pour the oil out of the bottle, there's always something, even when you shake it like that, there's something small for you. So tell somebody, something small for the boys and girls will by all means be left for you. So that is what God wants to do for us. Amen. And I want you to be part of building a mega church. We are within striking distance of 2 million souls in the church. 2 million souls. That is 2 million members. We rarely count members. We usually count attendance. But if we count members, it's a lot. Members are different from attendance. But there are people who belong to us but are not here. There are always a lot of people that are not there. How many were not in church last week, Sunday? Wave. Give me a wave. You see, so many. No, wave. You see, all these were not in church on Sunday. But you are all church members, but you didn't come last week. You get it? So there's a lot of people. So tell somebody we are within striking distance of 10,000 people. Now, which includes all the people that are important for your life. Those 10,000 people include the, have you corrected it? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which includes all the important people for my life. They are in the 10,000. And be sitting here. Somebody who does this. Somebody who needs this. Somebody who is like this. Somebody who knows this. Somebody who knows somebody. Somebody who is somewhere. All the important people for your life. Or somebody you are big and fat, and somebody who likes big and fat people. You are slim and tall. Somebody who likes slim and tall. Someone you are short. Somebody likes short. Baby jets. All the important people for your life are in the 10,000. That's what people don't realize. You know, I know today many pastors do business, but I don't do business. I don't do business at all. No. Not even 1 minute of business. That's profit-making, money-making ventures. No. Because I'm so busy with souls. My currency is souls. So I don't have time. Not that I don't need money or I don't like money. I also like money. I need money as everybody does. You see, ministry is, working for God is a profession. That's what people say they want to come full time to the ministry. What we must realize is that you do something that is profitable. Something that is worth it's your time. And something that is so valuable that it even generates whatever is necessary to sustain you being in ministry. So when you have people who don't work hard, sometimes they come to full-time ministry, don't work hard, so it looks like it's a waste of time. But no. I tell you, I don't despise anybody who is doing business. I've done business before. I was a sand and stone contractor. I've told you, I don't look like a sand and stone contractor. Yeah. But I'm saying that the time, is it tomorrow that I'm going to look for sand and stones to sell? Is it tomorrow that I'm going to have a meeting with businessmen and to find things about money and bank tomorrow, or is it Tuesday? Which day? I don't know the day. So, serving God is a major thing that involves everything from you. So, anybody who is in the church, you are harming yourself when you don't participate in helping to build the church. But the church you are building has all the important people for your life. I found my wife in the church. You will find your wife, you will find your husband in the church. Receive it in Jesus' name. There is somebody for everybody. There is what? For everybody. Somebody who would employ you. Somebody whom you will employ. Somebody who will do whatever you need. I don't know what you may need in life. Are you with me? So when we say, let us build the church, you know, it is only when your mind is limited that you don't get involved. It's like those who lead certain countries in certain continents whose name begins with alphabet, such as A. Continents, Asia, Africa, America, Australia, all the continents. So there's a certain continent whose name begins with an A. And there are certain leaders in some of these continents who don't realize that if the country, not you, the country is prosperous, then you, the leader, and the people in charge have no choice but to become prosperous by default or by almost as like a side effect, because you are the head of something that is working. You are not the head of villages and huts. You are fighting to be the leader of huts and dusty villages and people being attacked by armed robbers all over the place. But if it is safe and if it is good, will be good for you and for everybody. So me, I've never thought about trying to get something. The church should work beyond my life. Yes. Are you with me? Yeah. So I'm telling you something, that the 10,000 people are coming. And I'm telling you because you see the chairs there practically. Yes, they are here, but I don't think they've arranged them. But they'll be here. The people sitting on them are the people you are that you need in this world. They will come and sit there. Oh yes. Yes. That's why when I see people in relationships and they are quarreling, I say, look, there's no need at all. The church is very big. You leave this person. And there's another person who likes you as you are. You get what I'm saying? Yes. Or you don't understand me? Tell somebody sitting by you, the 10,000 people includes all the important people for my life. Amen. 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 Yes. Everybody that is important for your life is in that. The people that are saved. But don't think that it is the person you lead to Christ or you help to be established in God who is the person that you need. No, 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 no. No. That's why we are all winning, because I may win one that you need and you win one that I need. Win for me, I win for you. It's a win-win situation. Reverend Nelson won a soul that you married. Pastor Joshua married a soul that... Where's Pastor Nelson? He's outside somewhere. Yes, at the back there. He won a soul. And after he won that soul, that is sitting here, then Pastor Joshua came from England and got that soul. It's a win-win situation. And the soul is practically here. Striking distance. Tell somebody, we are within striking distance of your beloved. Yes. We are within striking distance of your beloved, your sponsor. Somebody who will sponsor you. Somebody who will pay your school fees. But don't think that you are going to win him or her. You win one, another person will win someone, and then it's a win-win situation. Yes. Now, in the First Love Church, we are not going to struggle about marriage. As for marriage there, there will be no struggle. Yes. So, anybody who is in a relationship and you are quarreling or crying, please, this afternoon, come and see Lady Pastor Lulu and Vivaldi and so on and end it. Yes. Because it's a sign that you will be unhappy for the rest of your life. Yes. It's a sign. It's, you need a terminator. You are being blessed. A blessing is a way to neutralize curses. Yes. You see, and what is the curse? If your father has stolen something and you are his child, you get what I'm saying? Your father has stolen something or done something bad. But people curse people with their children. And he really did steal something. And you are his child. You get what I'm saying? It's like there's a curse already working. Maybe the curse is that you should go down. So when you come to church and I say you are blessed, the blessing is that you go up, you see. And there was already one that takes you down. So if the down one was going down 2 floors or 2 meters, and then a blessing comes, and that blessing is saying that you should go up 2.5 floors. At least you are above ground by 0.5. Now, how many realize that your father may have done something bad in this world? Raise your hand. Yes. Maybe your mother is your father's girlfriend. And your mother stole your father. Or borrowed your father. And you are the evidence of the borrowing. And maybe the person from whom she was borrowed or he was borrowed spoke a word. Yes. Or what I'm saying doesn't sound real to you. If you go to Anakazo campus, there is a metal sign there that cursed be the one who come to turn this place with his children and his family forever, who will come and turn this place into a secular institution. Yes. And I stand by it. So you may come and do something before you realize your children and further families are affected. So that is why blessings are needed all the time. And in Luke 24, the last chapter of Luke 24, verse 50. Yes. When Jesus was going, the Bible says he led them out. You know, he appeared to them. If you read verse, like a few verses before, let's take like 47, 48. And that repentance should be preached. Verse 48. And we are witness of these things. 49. And behold, I send the promise of the Father. Jesus was giving them the great commission. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued from on high. Then verse 50. What did he do? He led them out as far as Bethany. You see, Bethany is another location. That's why you need to go to Israel. And you have an idea when he says he led them out to Bethany. Yes. And what did he do? He lifted his hands and blessed them. So when you come to church and we say, lift your hand and receive your blessing. You see, this is the last thing that Jesus did. He lifted his hands and he blessed them. Yes, he lifted his hands and he blessed them. So blessings, when you come to church, is I speak blessings over you, because it's an instruction that God gave to Moses. He said, thus shall you bless the children of Israel. The Lord, may his countenance be lifted up over you, and so on. It's something that is important to be blessed. So when you are here, I am blessing you and declare blessings over your life. And the blessings are real. Yes. And they're neutralizing curses. So that's why I need you to do many things that bring blessings. Because we need to be blessed. Now, nothing can explain Ghana's situation except a curse. Yes. Or Africa. Because we are rich. We are not poor. And our nation is full of intelligent people. You know, by the way, I was at Mankesim the other day. And I met a man. Hello? What's the problem? Mankesim, you didn't shout, you'll be there. When I said Mankesim, you didn't shout, I'll be there, I'll be there. Mankesim is also a good place. Now listen, you know, this man told me, he said, he came to me after, an elderly man, and he said to me, I worked at NASA for many years as an engineer. He walked up to me, because I think I said something about the planets and the stars. And he walked up to me and he said, I know all that you said. I've worked at NASA for many years. And he said, it's amazing that these people who have done all this don't believe in God. Yeah. So Ghanaians are very intelligent. Engineers at NASA and so on. You know. We are not poor. But why should you be attacked by robbers? Three people accost you on the road. Abroad, there are no even walls. Nobody has a wall around his house. There's no burglar proofing on. The house is made of cardboard. The houses are made of cardboard. You can just push the window and you are in anybody's house. People dwell safely. Look at it. So Jesus lifted his hands. Look at it. And blessed them. This is what we need. Blessings. So every time you come to church, you are coming to receive a blessing. Apart from everything, you are coming to receive the word, be encouraged to learn, but also to be. And that's the last thing he did. Look at it. You can put all the verses there. 50. He led them out to Bethany and lifted his hands and blessed them. And the next verse, what does it say? And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried into heaven. So the last thing he did was to bless them. Not to teach them. He has finished teaching them. But the last thing was to bless. He said, be blessed. Be blessed. Be your children, be blessed. Your life, be blessed. Kalama shaka sundalaba. Yes. And when things are blessed, they work and they grow. And they are successful. And they escape many evils. Amen. Hallelujah. So be blessed. Amen. Now, today I want to move on to seven great principles on spirituality. Of spirituality, I should say. Being spiritual. Now, spirituality. I want you to be spiritual. Some people use the word spiritual churches. It's a spiritual church. As if there's something wrong with it. Are you with me? But actually, there's nothing wrong with spirituality. It's rather an important thing to be spiritual. Amen. John 4 verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. God is not, they didn't say God is spirit. It says God is a spirit. God is a spirit. So he's not that God is spirit. A spirit. God is a spirit. It's not a man. So when you are spiritual, you are more oriented towards another realm. And it is important to become more influenced, more affected. When you say somebody is sensual or sexual, it was sexual or sensual. What does it mean? More oriented, like a dance. And they said it was a sexually sensual dance. Senses become sensual. So it seemed to be oriented and have a lot of sexual connotations and messages. True or not true?
True.
So when you are spiritual, you are more spirit, things of the spirit about you. And then a lot of Christians don't have a lot of that. So after you are born again, you need to go more towards the spirit side of things. Yeah. And become more of a spirit man. Yeah. Because that is in you. There is something in you called the spirit. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says that he wants us, our whole body, soul, body and spirit, to be preserved. Amen. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. So there are three parts. I don't feel my spirit. You feel your liver. You feel your liver. How many can feel your liver? How is your liver this morning? Does it mean you don't have a liver if you don't feel your liver? Yes. The liver is there. You don't have to feel it. It's there. You don't have to feel. How many can feel your hypothalamus? You see, you don't even know what it is. Can you feel your cerebellum? You see, you don't even know what it is. But is it that it means it's not there? If your cerebellum was not working, you'd not be able to walk straight like this. It would be like this. Yeah, if your cerebellum was not working, you'd be like this. Yeah. And if your spirit is not there, you'd be dead like that. You'll be dead. As soon as your spirit goes out of your body, you'll be dead. So you don't have to feel it to for it to be true or real. Alright? It's real. Whether you know it or not, it is real. Okay? So, I'm talking about now becoming spiritual. Spiritual. We've talked about becoming supernatural. We're talking about becoming fruitful. We've talked about seven great principles of a great change. Isn't it? Seven great principles of your salvation. But and of spiritual growth. And now I'm talking about being spiritual. Spiritual. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1. Look at it quickly. I, brethren, I couldn't speak to you as a spiritual. Paul was right. He said, I wanted to talk to you like you were spiritual. But I couldn't. I couldn't speak to you. So Christians exist and they are not spiritual, including the Corinthians. And that's why the letters to them was a lot. Anytime there's a long meeting, You get it? It shows there's something wrong. And you see, Corinthians had 14, 15, 16 chapters. Ephesians just had six short chapters. You get it? Timothy was a correct person. Just a short meeting. When the meeting goes on too long, there is something wrong with you. Take it from me. Advice, meetings, issues. Just receive and believe and just move on. You are quarreling with your beloved. And I say that if you are quarreling, it's always not. You should break up. You want us to have scriptures. I should show you Rachel and whatever. And I should take you to Sarah, Abraham. What is the problem? Are you listening to me? Yes. So, spiritual, these Corinthians, they were really some way. And that's why Paul had to write one whole book up to like 16 chapters. And then a second Corinthians. Where there's no second Ephesians, second Colossians, second, no. Problematic. Tell your neighbor, do not be problematic. Do not be problematic. There need not to be two meetings with you. Yes. And some of the things in 2 Corinthians, he had spoken about them in the 1 Corinthians and just went over. That's why you, most of you, if I ask you, what do you know from 2 Corinthians, you see that you know not so much, because it's going over and it's like a laborer facing there at a point. He even said that, okay, take it that I'm mad, I'm beside myself, this and that. I mean, too long, too argumentative, too heated. Anyone here whose parents have to speak a lot, there is something wrong with you. And I'm telling you as a prophet that there is something wrong with you. Don't be a child who needs plenty talking. Short. Yes, daddy. Yes, mommy. Yes, uncle. Yes, pastor. Thank you very much. You are right. I'm wrong. Not that it's a poem. It is true. I believe it. And you are moving on. And you'll be a nice girl, a nice boy, and somebody nice will like you. Hallelujah. Let's go on quickly. Now, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual. I had to speak to you as carnal. But even as unto babes in Christ. Look at it, verse 2. Now, he's going to ask you a question. I fed you with milk. In other words, I was just talking nicely in a way to you. Because milk is like no chewing. Just sweet stuff. Oh, you're going to prosper. Oh, you're going to be rich. Oh, you're going to be happy. Oh, you're going to be easy. I'm just telling you nice things. Watch out for the quality of things that people tell you. When they realize that you are some way, they just tell you certain things. But they don't go deeper. Because you don't understand no NATO. Do you know NATO? You don't know NATO? And you want to be the president of America? Okay, verse 3. For you are carnal. When there is envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal? And walk as men. Now, one of the main characteristics of where there are men, human beings, is this one. Envy, strife, and divisions. Yeah. Any group, when there's a group of human beings, you have this. If you don't see it, it's because you are new. So if you enter a political party, if you are new, you think they are united. Oh, there's love, really, when they wear their things and they are all waving. When you stay in it, these three words, envy. Strife, which is quarrels, contentions, and what? Divisions. Every political party is heavily divided. Those who support this, those who want this, those who want that, those who want that. We even had a party once having 16 candidates. And there were people for each. Some people voted for everybody. for each of the 16. It's amazing. Yes. And you see the parties, you see that these three things, envy, you would think that everybody in the party is happy that this one has become this. It's not like that. Apart from the ones outside, the enemy. So usually people unite against an enemy, but not they don't unite because they are united. We are united against you. Our unity is because we all hate you. A common enemy, but not that they are united. And churches too are full of this when the church is full of unspiritual people. Yes. You have divisions. You say, for me, I like it when Pastor Selom preaches. I am a Pastor Selom man. I'm a Selomite. I'm a Selomite. Yes. As for me, I'm a Cadillite. Yes. People even have division between the husband and the wife. Yes. Oh, I prefer when the wife preaches. Oh, the wife is more sweeter than the man is always. They know he's a man, so he's always saying these things. Your mouth like a frog. Look, did I mention your name? Have I called you a frog? Have I mentioned your name that you are a frog? Then why? Just look straight and keep smiling, and nobody will know that you are the frog. Keep straight. Look straight.
Keep preaching.
Ask your neighbor. I say, have they called your name since they started preaching? Have they called your name? So that is the sign that the flesh is dominating. So that's why God wants you to become spiritual. Spiritual is not what you think that, oh, white garment, you'll be wearing, do it. So I want to show you, you know, because these seven principles I'm showing you are all going to more or less show you what spirituality is not. So to help you to see what spirituality is. I hope you get what I'm saying. Right. Now, principle number one. And I'm finishing. This is going to be baby jet fast. After you are born again, you must become spiritual. All the points start with, after you are born again, you must become spiritual. And colon. Write the word colon. If you are typing, you can copy seven times because it will be there. After you are born again, you must become spiritual. Spirituality is not stupidity. And spirituality is not madness. Yeah. Now, there are many people who think because you are spiritual, you are stupid. You are kind of like a type of a mad person because you are spiritual. Is it not true? And you must be kind of stupid that you not probably didn't do well in school. We are spiritual. Acts 26 verse 19. Whereupon, have you got the first great principle? Have you written it down? After you are born again, you must become spiritual. Colon. Spirituality is not stupidity. And spirituality is not madness. Acts 26 verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. But I showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem throughout all the coast of Judea and to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God. Verse 21, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Are you watching? Are you with me? What's the first principle? Spirituality is not stupidity, and spirituality is not madness. Verse 23, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Verse 24, and as he thus spoke for himself, he was in court, he was speaking. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, which is an English expression saying, you are mad. It's a way of saying you are mad. Much learning doth make thee mad. You see, they thought he was mad because he was preaching. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Amen. Tell somebody, I am not mad because I'm spiritual. It does not mean that I am mad. Yes. Spirituality is not that the mind has gone off. He's mad. Speaking in tongues, so he's mad. When I was in school, one of the lecturers said that they need to put an EEG, that is electroencephalography, on my head to see whether we are normal when we are speaking in tongues. He said, King Festus, I am not mad. Most noble Festus, I am not mad. Huh? Yeah, I am not mad. With all due respect, I am not mad. The Father, you see me serving God. Do you think Paul was a spiritual man? You see him serving God. Doesn't mean that he's mad. Yes. In fact, there are times I've met politicians and I can see something. They feel that, this is a priest. It's a pastor. The only thing he can do is to pray. It's true. It's true. They actually think that it's like there's nothing up there. It's only prayers. I remember once I was interacting with one politician and we were talking about some other things and he said, it's like the prayer. They started to talk about libation. I said, I didn't come here to talk about libation. I don't know if you pour libation. They feel that there's nothing up in the rocker. You can't have an intellectual discussion. I said, Paul, you are beside yourself. Look at what preaching did he preach? He was just sharing the word. I've been preaching that Christ, what the prophet said. The man looked at him and said, you are mad. Yeah. So when they see you even prospering, or when they see pastors having cars, or a pastor, they can't see it at all because this madman has a car. Yes. So spirituality is not a mental problem. And many people, when they have one mental child, they want to send him to the Bible school. Yes. In fact, our Bible school has got a special anti-madness, anti-mental assessment for people coming to the school because it's a common thing. Yes, it's a very common thing that people have a family. When they have a person, he has a problem, he cannot be controlled, drug problem, personality disorder, schizoid personality, depression, mental condition, whatever, they say Bible school. Now, why would you send your mad child to the Bible school? Because you think what? What do you think? The people there are mad, and that is where you fit in. If you take a mental patient, if you take you are taken to the mental hospital, what does it mean? It means they consider you as mad, and they are taking you to where what other mad people are. So our Bible school have a strong antennas up for mental illness because it's one of the commonest thoughts. You see, it's the background thoughts that we are mad. That is why we are doing what we are doing. That's why we are not, that's why we are serving God. It's like there's something wrong with us. Paul said, I am not mad. Do you think Bishop Saki is mad? I mean, I thank God that we've been to school in addition. You, let's continue. Principle number two. After you are born again, you must become spiritual. Spirituality is not a lack of education. Spirituality is not a lack of education. Now, Festus himself proved it in that very verse, verse 24, when he said in Acts 26, 24, he said, Paul, you are beside yourself, much learning that make thee mad. So you can see that Paul was, he has studied a lot, and the things he said, Festus was confused. I'm sure, I don't know what he studied in school, but you could see that he was confused. Politics, maybe he was into politics, political science. What did he Festus do in school? Political science? And law, I'm sure, and law. Philosophy. Classics. Linguistics. Amen. So, spirituality is not the lack of learning. Many people in who are spiritual have learned a lot, studied a lot. And that is why today, you know, they've tried to overcome that by having degrees in theology. But you see, unfortunately, when it comes to faith, the more you analyze it, the more you can't believe it. You see, when you analyze something too much, you don't believe it. So when Jesus was analyzed too much, right, people could not receive. He said, are you not the carpenter's son? Are you not Mary this? Is your mother not this? And at a point, they could not receive. So one of the problems is that one of the problems with education that people think that we cannot have education is because they feel that you must know other opinions to say you are educated. So whatever you believe, there are 200 more opinions about the same topic. And you must learn all the other opinions. You see, and they feel that some of us cannot know other religions or other things and then still believe what we believe. So he realized that Paul was somebody who had actually studied a lot. And he said, much learning makes you mad. But you see, me for instance, I've studied other religions. In fact, one day I really asked myself the difference between Christianity and our other brothers. I said, no, let me find out which is the holy book, which is the savior. Yes. No. I studied it to find out for myself. And when I studied, I found no difficulty in taking Jesus as my savior. Yes. In fact, I can even share with you on other religions. And I can use another religious book to teach you if you want. You will see that you don't believe in it when I finish that religion. Yeah. So, brothers and sisters, don't think that because someone is spiritual, he's not into studying or learning. No. Number three, after you are born again, you must become spiritual. Spirituality is not the rejection of knowledge, but the including of God in your knowledge. It's not the rejection of knowledge. Amen. But the including of God in your knowledge. So it's not that you reject knowledge when you are spiritual. No. When you come to church, have you not learned many things about many things by sitting in church? You learn many things. You know many things that you didn't know before. Yeah. So the fact that somebody is spiritual doesn't mean the person has no knowledge. Romans 1:24. I prefer to read it a little before Romans 1. Let's start from verse 20. Look at this. This is the famous chapter. This is the part of the Bible that those who are lobbying for homosexuality to be promoted all over the world, they don't want this scripture to be read. But you see, even if it's a human right, it's a right for us to believe in the Bible. I have a right to believe in your religion. Verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed against unrighteousness of man. Verse 20. For the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. That is why I like creation. That is why I am interested in the planets and the stars. And if you are interested, Jupiter is out here in the evening. You can see Jupiter. For the invisible things of him are seen by the things that are made. Even his power. So that is just shows you the greatness and type of power God has to see the kind of planets and stars we have. And yesterday there was the news that NASA launched a rocket to Mars. It's going to take them 6 months to get there. A planet as big as this earth. And it's out there in the dark somewhere. And they are going there. It's going to take them 6 months. They are going to study earthquakes that are going on Mars. Yeah. Whilst we cannot easily drive to Asinfosu. Verse 21. Verse 21, please. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So anywhere you see people have made a cockroach, a crab, a man, an antelope, as a god, this verse is being fulfilled. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up. God said, okay, I've had enough. To uncleanness. What did he give them up to? He dashed them over to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves. All right, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and serve the creature more than they serve the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up to their affections. By the way, this has happened only in the last 60 years. 60, 70 years. The last, in fact, maybe 50 years. People have said there is no God like never before, especially Europe. So God. So, and in direct response to that, God has handed them over to homosexuality. Yes. Exactly. It was not like that before. I can show you a picture of nurses praying in Leeds, kneeling down like this in the morning before they start work in Leeds in England. This is how nurses pray before starting work. Yeah. In 1950 something. Yeah. I can show you a picture if you want. After church, I'll show you. See me after church, I'll show you the picture. Yeah. Yeah. But recently they said, no, there's no God. So God said, you know, I don't exist. Okay, I'll give you to vile affections. So that verse 26 will be fulfilled, which says that women did change the natural use to do that which is against nature. Okay? Are you there? And likewise, men also, leaving the natural use of the woman. So when you are a woman and you are married, you must know that there is a use of you. You get what I'm saying? The natural use of the woman. And bend in their lusts toward one another. Okay? Men with men, working that which is unseemly. God forbid. and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet or appropriate. So God is punishing them for that. Now, verse 28 is the verse that we are looking for. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God then gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So this scripture is showing us something. It's not that there is no knowledge, but they did not want to retain or keep or include God in the plenty knowledge that they are having. So being spiritual is not the lack of knowledge, like this man is a fool or this man doesn't know anything about anything. But in addition to knowing anything about anything, we include God in our heads and in our mind. We maintain the presence of God and the knowledge of God in our heads. Yes. So if I'm in a clinic and I can see somebody in a condition, I've still retained God in my knowledge. And I know that this thing, it can be a spirit. And it often it is a spirit. And that praying for the person is also important. Yes. So you cannot. That's what has happened. All these scientists have gone to Mars. This since you couldn't find God, and as you keep on even doing using your science to find more things, they did not want to retain or keep God as part of the things they know. So they said there's no God. So now God has led them to have a mind which is now reprobate. Yes. And then, so you can see that the things they do are almost like the mind is off. Yes. It's almost as if they are mad. If you watch what they are doing, how can you bring a 10-year-old child? One of my church members was telling me, 10-year-old child, you bring the child to school in Europe, and they tell the children that this one is now a boy. This one have changed sex and you have to change their name at the age of 10. How old were you when you were 10? No, ask your neighbor, how old were you when you were 10 years old? You were only 10 when you were 10. Can you imagine if your mother brought you to school and said you are now a boy? And a boy is a girl at the age of 10. Not even 11. God for really paid. I mean, these are not imaginations. But like now, there's no more male toilet, no more female. I mean, you can't even believe. God said, okay, since I said I am not there. Okay, your mind now can go completely off. Yes, no more him and hers. It's what? Zer and Zim. There's no more he and her. It's Zer and Zim. There's a gender, you are Z. You are not a he, that's a male, or a she. You are a Z. It is. And there's undecided gender. That is, you are not male, he or her. You are undecided. So, spirituality is not about, we don't know anything. No. In fact, when I was younger, I thought I didn't know many, many things, like economics. I mean, it took me time to have confidence. But as time has gone by, I said, what the people are doing in the government, is it right? But as time has gone by, I've become more sure that what I know, I'm practicing within my own little nation. Yes. And I can see clearly. I mean, you can see, that's why you can even see that. Oh, so, after 5 years, is that going to be changed? You can't even know. Yeah. But you think you don't know. But we know a lot of things. So spirituality doesn't mean empty box, empty brains. You remember some years ago, it's the SU president who failed. When you fail exam, then you become the scripture union leader in their school. God for really paid. Number four, after you are born again, you must become spiritual. Spirituality is not the rejection of science. Spirituality is not the rejection of science. Luke in Colossians 4 verse 14, Luke is called the beloved physician. He was a doctor, a medical doctor. Now, what did a medical doctor contribute? Huh? You see, you can't tell us that we reject science. We believe in science. Darwin and others, you rather need faith to believe that an explosion gave birth to a human being. It's a leap of faith. Which explosion can produce a Mercedes Benz? I mean, when the explosion goes, then it's like so many miracles will occur and join together to form an air conditioner in the car with a windscreen wiper. This part is rubber. This place is glass. The wipers perfectly. And it will give birth to other cars. Let's be serious. I mean, so we do not reject science. And I, for instance, I am a science student, as a doctor. Now, I want you to know that science does not, and someone said, what science did Luke know? They knew science, my friend. The science we have today is based on the science they had then. People have always been called doctors because they knew a little more about how to get people well. Even in Ghana, before medicine came here, they knew how to cure malaria. They had certain trees and certain things that they ate. And now that they've done the experiments, they found out what it contained. They knew. They go to the forest and pick this and pick this and boil it and drink it. You'll be well. That was science. Yeah. Now, who wrote most of the New Testament? Paul, isn't it? How many vote for Paul? Vote for Paul. Let's see who wins the election. You see, the majority. I want to see the. Don't think there's a trick. Please. Who is voting for Paul? Right? I need votes, 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 votes. Put your hand up. Who is not going to vote for Paul? Who is not going to vote for Paul? Undecided. You. Vote for who? Who wrote the New Testament? Majority of the New Testament. Paul, isn't it? Isn't it Paul? Wrong. Wrong. A science student. A science student called Luke wrote the majority of the Bible, of the New Testament. You see, art students. A doctor wrote more than a lawyer. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Paul wrote 32,407 words. Paul wrote 32,407 words in the New Testament. And look, you see, now the election results are coming. These are real counting. I wish I had some more people on my side. I would have celebrated the Keller Willis Center with you after church. But there were three people over there. I don't know. From the strong room. Those who were in the strong room. Now, have you written? Paul wrote 32,407 words, which amounts to 23% of the votes. And Luke wrote 37,933 words. It's a comfortable lead. Luke is leading by far. Yeah, because Luke has the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. Clear. The elections, I mean, those are the results. The results have come in. You can't argue. He's in a comfortable lead. The pink sheets are in. Luke is the winner. He wrote the majority of the New Testament. How many words were there in the New Testament? 138,020 Greek words. 130,000. And Luke wrote the majority. The rest, John, Matthew, and so on, they didn't get far. So those of us who are science students, I want you to rejoice in the fact that you are a scientist. A scientist wrote the most of the New Testament, was written by a science student and a science person, a scientific person, and a physician. I want to welcome all science students to stand up so that we celebrate your science. We are scientists in the church. Scientists are in the church, in the house of God. Yes. Oh, wave your hand, wave your hand. All science students. Science students are in a comfortable lead. All nurses are science students. So nurses, lab techno, every, all. Okay. Thank you. You can sit down. Quickly. Daniel chapter 1 verse 17. Daniel chapter 1 verse 17. Look at this. Four children. Notice. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning. That is, learning means in things you can learn. And a lot of things to learn in schools. God gave them knowledge. Never think that spiritual. These are the most spiritual people whose names are in the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Men of faith who are ready to die. How many of you are ready to die for your faith? Let's be serious. These are spiritual men. And God gave them knowledge, skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. So you see, a different type of thing. Daniel was like dreaming and having visions. But these guys, they were like into knowledge, learning, understanding. Verse 18. And now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, the prince of the eunuchs brought them into Nebuchadnezzar to the king. And the king was coming to interview them. Because when you are clever, you can know something about somebody from just 5 minutes of talking to the person. Verse 19. And the king communed with them. And among them all was none found like Hananiah, Daniel, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Huh? Verse 20. Beautiful. And in all matters. Okay? All subjects. Not arts and science. Don't say that you are failing in school because you are in church and you've become spiritual. You are an idiot if you say that. You are not in this church. I say you are not in this church if you say that. You are failing in school because you are in church. It says in all matters of wisdom. That means all subjects. Philosophy, classics, linguistics, psychology, political science. What is it? Accounting. Human resource management, international relations, all matters that required wisdom and understanding. Huh? The king, look at it, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. Now, a magician is like a doctor. All the doctors and people who do this and something works out. Yeah. 10 times better. In that, meanwhile, they were spiritual people ready to die for what they believe. Just a few chapters down the line, they were standing and said, throw us into the fire. We will never bow to you. and they had wisdom, knowledge. Never think that a person is spiritual, so he is, it means he's stupid, or he lacks knowledge, or he lacks learning, or knowledge, or science, and you don't know. That's why, you know, medical things, I'm still involved in it fully. Oh yes, God told me, apply your mind, don't resign from medical things. Yes. And many things I find, God showed me. Yeah. Showed me. Do this. Don't close your mind. When you are spiritual, it doesn't mean you don't know things. Or you become stupid. You become daft. You are no more into, you can't know this or know that. Huh. Even what I say about debt, finance and debt, the richest people in this world, they don't borrow and they don't owe. Even the heads of some of the banks who are lending money, they personally, they don't owe anybody. Wow. Yeah. Because they know what we are saying is true. That when you borrow, you are failing. When you borrow, you are failing. So brothers and sisters, I want you to know that a person can, if spirituality is not meaning no learning, no knowledge, no science, no school. I don't want to hear any child here tell me that since I started going to church, now my GPA is falling. Come for a slap after as soon as we close, come for a slap, okay? And request two slap on your two cheeks for saying, and a knock. Your GPA is below sea level. Did you see what the film stars were saying? That the GPA has fallen since he started coming to church. Nonsense. I'm happy to report to you that I went to University of Ghana Medical School. Wow. It was one of the best medical schools. It was the only medical school in my time. And I don't know how well it's doing. Yeah. And I was one of the best. Oh yes, I was one of, I'm not saying I'm telling you news, like information. I'm not boasting. My grades are there. Yeah, my distinction is still there in history. I met someone once, he said, you know,
I don't really believe in, you know, the church and all this, you know, because I'm a scientist.
When he said I'm a scientist, because I could hear a bit of Americanization in his voice, he had been, but when he said that, I was intimidated and I kept quiet. I didn't bother to ask which science. So after a long time, some months or years, I just asked someone, what science did this man do? Computer science. He bamboozled me for about 3 years with computer science. And it was a 2-year course in computer science. No further comment. Number 5. Quickly. After you are born again, you must become spiritual. Spirituality is not the rejection of reason and logic and reasonable judgment. When you are spiritual, it's not the rejection of reason and the rejection of logic. In Acts 24, verse 20, are you writing it down? After you're born again, you must become spiritual. Spirituality is not the rejection of logic, of reason, or of reasonable judgment. Come on. Acts 24, verse 23. And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty. And that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come to him. Verse 24. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Verse 25. Notice. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way. For this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." As he did what? Reasoned. Reason. You see, I can sit down with you and reason with you about heaven and hell for you to accept Jesus. Why would you not accept Jesus? Everybody here should be able to sit down with your friend and say, "Listen, young my friend, you are my friend, I'm your age. Let me reason with you about God. Let's think about it. What will happen to you if you die? Will you live forever? When you do this and you do this, and you, what is going to become of you? What about if there is God? What about if you die and it is all true?" You must be able to reason with people until they tremble. Look at what happened. He reasoned with him and he began to tremble. Felix trembled. You know, one day I was preaching, and after I finished preaching, one of the dancing stars, she came to me and she said, Daddy, today you didn't preach the way you normally preach." I said, "Why?" It was a carnival. She said, "Because usually when you preach about Christ, I become afraid. I start trembling." And that day I didn't talk about Lazarus. She said, I become scared when you preach about Jesus." You must be able to preach with people for them to be afraid. One day I was on a plane and the plane was struck by lightning. And I looked at my side and I realized that he was already trembling, so there was no need to preach. So I just did the sinner's prayer. I said, "You wouldn't want to pray with me to give your life to Christ?" But the preaching has been done by the lightning. Acts 18:4. Look at it. Beautiful. "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." All right. Number five, principle number six. After you're born again, you must become spiritual. Spirituality is not the absence of common sense. Spirituality is not the absence of common sense. When a person is spiritual, it doesn't mean that he lacks common sense. Now, common sense is applied in four main areas in your life: food, drink, rest, and sex. Food, drink, rest, and sex. Common sense. I'm going deeper. Mark chapter 5. But I have just 3 minutes more. Mark chapter 5, verse 42. "And straight away the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And when they were astonished with a great astonishment, he charged them straightly that no man should know it." This is Mark chapter 5, when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. After he raised her from the dead, verse 43, what did he say? "And he commanded that something should be given her to eat." He commanded that what? Something should be given her. After he had used great spiritual power and anointing to raise the dead, the next thing was, give her something to eat quickly. Yes. Can you imagine raising from the dead? Why did he not continue the raising of the dead? Your stomach be filled and all. No, the presence of anointing and spiritual power does not mean that common sense does not apply in your life. Yes. True. Is Jesus not anointed? Was he not spiritual? Do you think Jesus was spiritual? Is it spiritual to raise the dead? When you raise the dead, I've never seen a more common sense instruction. Somebody who's been raised from the dead, you've come back from heaven or hell. Charlie, find something to eat. Have to get some plantain. Look at Kelewele Center right here. Go and eat some. Kaba Shakaya. Drink. 1 Timothy 5:22. "Lay hands suddenly on no man." Now he's talking about laying on of hands. "Neither be partaker of other men's sins." Verse 23. "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." You see, in one verse, he's talking about laying on of hands. So the next moment, he's talking about, you know, this problem you've been having, let's do it this way. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Common sense. Practical. And you see, wine has something called resveratrol.
Wow.
Yes, but the art students, you can just use the word wine, but the science students, you know. And that is why people who drink wine in France, they rarely get heart attacks. Because that thing protects their heart. Yeah. Not beer, not Guinness. You see now? It's not beer, it's not Guinness. And I'm not saying you should go and start drinking wine, but I'm just telling you. Yeah. Practical things. And you see, even though it's practical, it may be against your religious ideas, it's practical to save Timothy's life. He wants him to be laying hands on people, but practically, it's like, don't drink water because it seems the water is affecting you. So try wine. Instead of when you are going to drink water, drink wine. Is it not there? Drink no longer water. Drink no longer water. Try using wine when you eat. That's advice Paul was giving Timothy. Oh, you don't want it to be in the Bible. You want me to remove it from the Bible. Because it's against your scripture union, this thing. Food, rest. Have we talked about rest? Oh, rest. Mark chapter 6. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come yourselves apart into a desert place. Wow. And rest a while. Jesus was saying, come and rest, oh. Let us rest. For there were many coming and going. There were many what? Coming and going. And they had no leisure. No leisure at all. So much as to even eat. And Jesus said, look, come. Let's run away to the desert and hide in the desert. Common sense. You see, when the fact that you are anointed doesn't mean you lack common sense. Common sense is common. It's supposed to be commonly available to all. How can it be that common sense is uncommon? And then sex. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. In other words, it's good for a man to have nothing to do with a woman. And that when you say, don't even shake her hand, just like, oh, hi, how are you going? All right. But nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Not because of love. Not because you are even needed in the ministry. Not because of anointing, to double your anointing, that two are better than one. Or one shall put to flight 1,000, two shall put to flight 10,000. It's a challenge, be practical. Yeah. A woman will may not help you much, but to avoid this one, get one. Amazing. And it's very practical. Yeah. But you see, it's super spiritual. But when you ask them, why are you getting married? Oh, because of the companionship of the Lord. And then the anoint, two are better than one. And one shall put to flight 1,000. Two shall put to flight 10,000. And in the beginning, in Adam and Eve. Why are you calling Adam and Eve now? Why do you call Adam and Eve? Do you think Paul was spiritual? Very spiritual. But it's not the end of his advice. He continues. So brothers, if you feel that you are marrying, or sisters too, to avoid fornication, it's not a bad reason. It's a Bible reason. So, now, verse 7. For I wish that all men were like me. Yeah. So he said, media, I'm cool, crap. I don't need no girl. I don't need no woman, man. I wish all guys were like me. I'm cool. I'm okay. How many brothers are like Paul? There's one brother here like Paul. Who is that like Paul? You are like Paul. Stand up. Are you not like Paul? Then why did you raise your hand? Where is the water? Why did you raise your hand during church service? You say you are like Paul. Fire this guy. Fire this guy. Okay, 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 okay. Is there anybody here like Paul? Is it true that you are like Paul? Okay, sit down. Next time, don't raise your hand during, you know, church. Look at it. He says, I wish all guys were like me. Wow. But every man has his proper gift. Wow. Everybody has a gift. And if that is not your gift, a gift of staying on your own. When you see a girl, you don't tremble. You don't have feelings. You don't have emotions. You are like Elijah. Oh, you are like Elijah. Verse 8. I say therefore to the unmarried and even to widows, it is good for them if they can stay as me. If you can stay, it is good. He's actually advising and saying that marriage seems to have something that it may be good that you don't go for it. Next verse. But if they cannot contain what? What are you containing? Hey! You see, spiritual people are also having common sense. Container. Where is the container? And what is the container containing? That you cannot contain in the container. Where is the container? Now notice, and he said that it is better to marry than to burn, which means that burning has an effect on the anointing. You can even be confused because you are burning. It's like when you are saying, I don't see well. Tell the nearest young person, Charlie, common sense. If the fact that you are spiritual doesn't mean you don't have common sense. Number seven. After you are born again, you must become spiritual. Spirituality is not the inability to ask questions. The fact that you are spiritual doesn't mean you don't ask questions. You want to ask, so can I ask, who created God? Who was Cain's wife? Huh? A lot of questions. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't ask questions. So what about this religion? Is it good? Is it? You can ask questions, but there are good answers. Yeah. Luke 2:45. And when they found him not, they turned back. Jesus was missing. He was a missing child. They turned back to Jerusalem, seeking him. Verse 46. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at the understanding and answers. So questions. Don't be afraid. I like it when people ask questions. When you don't ask questions, I find you what? Tell the person next to you how I find the person who doesn't ask questions. When you don't ask questions, what is wrong with you? What are you deficient in? How many have ever asked a question in class and people shouted at you that, and you felt what? You felt stupid, isn't it? But you know, rather, it's the intelligent people who ask questions. It's the lack of intelligence that is not making you ask questions. It's the intelligence rather that makes you ask questions. They always shouted at me in class.
You are holding us back. You are holding us back. Let us move on. You are holding us. Meanwhile, they don't know. They don't know what you are asking. They don't know the answer to what you are asking. Sit down. Principle number one, quickly. Principle number one. Wow. Is that not a powerful point? One Bible student, he stood up on a plane and started prophesying on the plane. I think it was KLM. He stood up and started prophesying. You see, spirituality is not stupidity. And they had to even arrest him. Yes. Spirituality is not stupidity and madness. Yeah, you have to be arrested. It's not madness. Principle number two. Why are you laughing? You are understanding the principle. Okay, number two. You must become spiritual. Spirituality is not a lack of education. Much learning. We are into learning. All my children, all those who've come for counseling, do I not advise you? You are going to be a doctor or a lawyer. And if it's even sociology, you become a doctor in the sociology. I don't allow them to even end at master's. All of you must become doctor of philosophy, whatever course you are doing, so that you are a doctor of it. So when you are working, say, doctor this. So that you at least you have a profession. Because you can't just come and say you did psychology first degree and then so what? We have so many psychologists even on the internet. So we need higher education. Israel has the most education in the whole world. Israel has the most educated country in the whole world. Israel. Yes, most intelligent, most prosperous. Israel, most educated, most. They emphasize on it. And I emphasize, all my children, I will not allow you not to go to school. I will not allow. Spirituality doesn't mean you lack education. Principle number three. After you are born again, you must become spiritual. Spirituality is not the rejection of knowledge, but the including of God in your knowledge. How many remember some people would not retain God in their knowledge? Yes. So we believe in the science and we say God made it all. Yes. Principle number four. After you are born again, you must become. Spirituality is not the rejection of science. Who wrote the largest part of the New Testament? A scientist or an art student? A science student or an art student? Yes. What percentage? What percent? I gave you the percentage. 28%. 28%. And then Paul, I hear, was a lawyer. And you see an art student or a science student. And what percentage did he write? So who has won the election? A science student has won. Luke won. So we don't reject science. Yes, we are scientists. And we, in addition to, Kenneth Hagin had a vision. Jesus appeared to him. Jesus told him, anytime somebody goes to the hospital, pray for the person. Even when a person is going to go through surgery, pray for the person. It always changes the outcome. Yes. If you read, I Believe in Visions, he told him, pray for people that are going to do surgery, whatever. Pray for them. It changes the outcome. Yes. He said, it brings God involvement. Yeah. What a blessing. Principle number five. Beautiful. After you are born again, logic or reasonable? No, reasonable judgment. See me after church, the one who wrote reasonable logic. And bring a Fanta when you are coming. Okay. Principle number six. After you are born again, you must become spiritual. Spirituality is not the absence of common sense. What are the areas that we use common sense? Food, drink. Yes. You know, we had a pastor once who went for a funeral. It's not everywhere you eat. He went for a funeral after they gave him food to eat. He slept, he never woke up. Yes. It's one of our pastors.
They refused to give the body for post-mortem. They refused everything. He slept and didn't wake up. That's it. So it's not everywhere you eat. It's not every food you eat. It's not everything you see that you say, I want to eat it. When you see flies dancing, flies are demons. When you see them dancing all over the food, whilst your hand is in your mouth, flies have come to sit on the fish. Then after from your hand, you go to the fish, then the flies go up. Then it comes to your mouth, then the flies come back. Have you seen it before? It's like a merry-go-round. They go like this. He ate and he slept and they never gave even the body up. It's not a stranger, one of our pastors. He went for a funeral. So, common sense. Yeah. Some of you have made yourself like you are Superman. Some, I don't feel sexy. You feel the sexiness. You are like us. I don't like these people who behave like they are like kind of special. Is there one of those people sitting by you who look like you don't have feelings the way we are struggling? You are not struggling the way we are struggling. Do you like such people? They make you feel bad. They make us feel bad all the time. And finally, principle number 7. After you're born again, you must become spiritual. Spirituality is not the inability to ask questions. Who was asking a lot of questions in the temple? Jesus. How many are going to become more spiritual than ever before? Beautiful. Stand to your feet, please. All right. Beautiful. Now, lift your hands. Father, thank you for this great opportunity. Lift your hands, just thank God. Father, thank you for the blessing of your word as you speak to us today. We love you, we thank you, we praise you for your power that you've shown to us today. We give you praise. We give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you want to give your life to Jesus, raise up your right hand. Pastor, I want to be born again today. I want to now take my life and give my life to God. Raise your right hand like this. God bless you. And I'm going to pray with you. If you've lifted your hand, you want to be born again. Maybe somebody invited you to church. Maybe you've given your life to Christ before, but you are not sure of yourself. Want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to God, to Jesus Christ. If you are here like that, your right hand in the sky. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand. If you've lifted your hand, just come. Walk to me here. Walk to me here. Come. Come to me. Come. Let me pray with you. You. Let him have his way. Clap for them as they come. So many people. I want to give my life to Jesus.
Come on to Jesus.
Come on.
Give him your life today. Come on to Jesus.
Now, lift your hands and say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my heart to you. Please wash away my sins with the blood of Jesus. From today, I belong to God. I will serve God. Please write my name in the book of life. Close your eyes. Say, Jesus, Jesus, come into my heart. Change my life. From today, I give myself to you. I give my heart to you. Thank you. Write my name in the book of life. From today, I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Now, I want to give you this book. Give them quickly. This is my book. When we close, all of you who are receiving this book. I'm going to meet, we are going to meet with you in this corner here, where they've written Salvation Corner up there. And this is a very good book. Do you know why? Do you know why people don't do well in exams? Because they read big books. So that's why I'm giving you a small book with key facts. Yes. When I was in school, I was always reading small books with key facts. That's why I passed. You get it? So this book is for your salvation. Amen. Are you happy about that? So when we close, what a blessing. Come over to this side and we are going to pray with you. Amen. God bless you. You may go back to your seats. You may be seated. It's time for Holy Communion.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. We bless. It's the communion of the blood of Christ.
Jesus.
Bread which we break. It's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal. It is the meal of God.
Wow.
It will sustain you. It will make you whole. It will give you life. So when I see the
stand to your feet.
I will pass over you. Oh, yeah. When I see the blood, ooh, yeah. I will pass over you. Oh.
When I see the blood, now we are about to receive the body of Jesus Christ. Luke 24 verse 30. And verse 31. Look at it. And it came to pass, as they sat at meat with them, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave it to them. What happened after? Verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. So today, as we take of this, your eyes will be opened. Whatever is hidden from you that you need to see in this life, God will make you to see it and to have it in the name of Jesus. Whatever has been kept away from you in your life, Bible says he took the bread, he broke it and ate it and gave it to them. They ate and their eyes were open. Lift it up. Father, thank you for power that is going all over this place. Thank you that eyes are opening in this life. In every realm, in every sphere, in every area. Thank you that the power to reveal, to uncover, to discover is released by the breaking of the bread, the body of Jesus Christ. Let our eyes be replaced by Jesus' eyes, and our brains by Jesus' brains, and our life by the life of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Whatever we haven't seen before, by the power of this communion, we declare that we are seeing it from now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for healing. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus. I hear the word neutralize. Whatever is a curse arising in your life, by this blood, may it be neutralized. Whatever word is spoken against your life, intended to finish you off, by this blood, may it be neutralized. The blood of Jesus neutralizes all your sins and your mistakes, and the effect of your mistakes. I say the effect of your mistakes, the effect of your mistakes are neutralized by the blood of the Lamb today. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Remember what I told you in Luke 24 verse 50. Luke 24 verse 50. He led them out and he lifted up his hands and lift up your hand and receive your blessing. Now may he who called you, he who saved you, he who brought you here today, may he establish you. May he save you. May he deliver you from traps and snares. Be blessed in this week and in the weeks ahead. May you celebrate your birthday this year with joy. Every bad news coming towards you, I block the bad news in the name of Jesus. Every bad information coming towards you, I reject it on your behalf in the name of Jesus. Wishes your downfall is declared cursed today in the name of Jesus. Every hole that has been dug for you to fall in, I declare you will never fall into it in Jesus' name. Whatever represents a problem, and an intractable problem, unsolvable dragons in your life, I declare solutions arriving in your life this week. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Be healed. Receive healing now.
Amen.
Be healed. Receive healing.
I receive it.
Receive healing now.
Receive
healing now.
Receive
healing now.
Receive
healing now.
Receive
healing now.
Receive
healing now. In the
body,
in your life. Receive healing. In the name of Jesus. Receive healing. Receive the blessing of God. I see something like a meter.
Prophesy.
And your age is on the meter. And
yes,
I see the meter going higher and higher and higher.
Yes.
You are crossing 70 years with ease.
I
in the name
receive
of
it.
You are crossing 70 with ease.
I receive it.
Receive it in the name of Jesus.
I receive it.
You celebrate many good days and many celebrations and many birthdays.
Amen.
From the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Stamp your feet on the ground. Receive the ability to walk at airports, international airports.
I receive it.
International countries.
I receive it.
Nations. Receive the ability to walk in the corridors of power.
I receive it.
Receive the ability to go to good places.
I receive it.
For good things.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Father, thank you for your blessing. Take your phone. Take your phone. Receive good messages.
I receive it.
Good phone call.
I receive it.
Good WhatsApps.
I receive it.
Good texts.
I receive it.
And good news.
I receive it.
Receive it in Jesus' name.
I receive it.
May your old phone be replaced with a brand new, brand new phone in Jesus' name. The prophecy you believe, is the prophecy that you receive.
I receive it.
And finally, may you receive money.
I receive it.
Money from all the offerings you've been given all through the years. I command the harvest to begin to appear on your
soul
in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody shouted,
amen.
Lift your two hands. Father, thank you for your blessing. All your children are blessed powerfully and mightily.
Yes, sir.
In a special way.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for taking us to walk at airports, restaurants, and good places for power.
Yes, sir.
Good places, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for victories that you bless us with. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Put your hands together.
put your hand on your stomach and say, I'm full of this blessing. I'm full of this blessing.
I'm full of this blessing.
I'm full of this blessing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dycuid Mills, please visit our website at www.dycuidmills.org. God richly bless you.